Well, if you've got your Bible today, open it up to John chapter 8. John, the 8th chapter. I was a little bit confused when Pastor Robert asked, what is Pastor Trey been teaching on, that I only heard about two or three people even throw the word truth out. Amen. Because we've been talking about this for a few weeks, and it is a super important teaching, if you haven't realized that or not, because we're living in an hour, in a day, that it is so much more difficult to discern what truth is with all the things that are surrounding us, from the things the media projects on us to the things our neighbor would say to us. There's just a harder, more difficult time because the darkness is more prevalent to know what the light is. So it's important for us as believers to know how to discern the truth, how to receive it, how to walk in it, so that we can be free in our lives. And today I believe that we are rounding out our study on truth today by looking at something Pastor Robert alluded to in his exhortation this morning, the Spirit of Truth. And to me, this is arguably one of the most important parts of everything we've been studying, because how many of you know we've got somebody living on the inside of us that will show us what's true and what's a lie, that what's genuine, that what's real versus what is error. God wants us to know it, and He's given us many different tools to know this truth in our life. So what we've been talking about is a definition that the Holy Spirit had given me before when I asked Him, what is truth? Similar to how Pilate asked Jesus, but didn't hang around long enough for Jesus to answer the question. Amen. And I asked the Holy Spirit that one time, and He said, truth is that which is not hidden, which makes God known. And in that definition, I started to begin to see a lot of the things that I've always known from the Scriptures, what truth is, how they all fit that definition. And the first thing we looked at was the fact that the Holy Spirit told me what truth is not. He said it's that which is not hidden. In other words, in order for us to understand what truth is, it's important for us to understand what it is not. And it's the opposite of a lie. It's the opposite of deception. And we know that the devil is the father of all lies. There's no truth in him. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking to deceive and devour. And that's really ultimately the only way that he can devour us is through deception. And that's why the prophet said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we need to have a knowledge of the truth so that we won't fall prey to all the devil's devices that he's constantly been destroying mankind with for thousands and thousands of years. So we learned that it is not anything that is hidden. And I made the point last week that I just learned this recently. But the word that's used for truth, aletho, I believe is how you pronounce it, A-L-E-T-H-O, literally means in its root meaning something that is not hidden or concealed. So that goes right in line with the definition of truth that the Holy Spirit had given me, amen. But he also said that truth is not something that's hidden, but it's what makes God known. So we began looking at a lot of these things through the Scriptures that teach us what the truth is and found out all of them fit this bill. How many of you know Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, was certainly not hidden? God sent him all the way from heaven onto the earth. He took on flesh, and he came to reveal the will and nature of God to us. Somebody say, thank God. So Jesus, in all that he was full of, all that he preached, all that he declared, and all that he behaved like, showed us what the truth of God is. And we found out that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. So that means the truth is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Therefore, the things Jesus declared 2,000 years ago that we have recorded in these Gospels are still true for us today. We don't toss these things aside. We don't move on to some new revelation. Jesus' words are just as relevant to our lives today as they were then. Amen? But last week, we began talking about another thing that the Bible teaches us that the truth is, and it is His Word. John 17, verse 17, Jesus was praying for his disciples, and he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So we looked through the Word of God and found out how the Bible, the Scriptures, are absolutely something that we can hang our hats on, that we can be concrete with, knowing that what God's word is will guide us. It'll show us, it'll reveal to us what is true. So you can depend on this. Amen. You got your Bible with you? Hold it up with me right now. Say this with me. Say, I can depend on this. The entirety of His Word is truth. Amen. You do well to do that every once in a while, to let the devil know and to let your own soul know what you can depend on and what your life is based on. I am so thankful that early in my Christian walk, I learned this. It was one of the first things the Lord revealed to me. In fact, I don't even know if I still have it in my Bible, but I used to have like a little, I'd drawn a tree. And basically this tree was my growth tree. And I wrote in this tree certain things like, this is where the Lord started me when I came rooted and grounded in Him, and this is how I grew in Him, and these are branches that He had began to teach me. Because if you'll find that out in your life, you'll find that a lot of times throughout our growth in God, the Holy Spirit will have you camp on certain things. He'll start teaching you certain things. And you'll grow oftentimes like a tree will. But in my description of this growth tree, the very root and foundation, I had faith written on it. Faith was one of the first things the Lord ever taught me. That I am not moved by what I see, by what I hear, or by what I feel. I am only moved by what I believe. And what I believe is based on this. If you adopt that same mentality, you're going to be very hard for the devil to deceive. You're not going to be pulled away too often. Because why? This is concrete. It does not change. It is truth. So we talked about how this is what breaks up the fallow ground of our heart. And it's what equips our boat to survive any storm of this life. If that sounds new to you and you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go back and listen to last week's message because it was real good. But today I want to pick up in John chapter 8 and go to a passage where Jesus had taught us something else about His Word, and this will lead us into our study of the Spirit of Truth. Now, Jesus in John chapter 8 made some pretty profound statements. He said some things that were very offensive to the religious people. And in a roundabout way was declaring who He was to them. And a lot of people were offended, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all those religious leaders. But this scripture says in verse 30, as He spoke these words, many believed in Him. So there was a bunch of people around at that point that were, and I'm talking about believing Jews, that they believed in what He was saying and they believed in who He was. So how did Jesus handle this? Most of the time we're going to rejoice over the fact we got some people that believe, praise God, because faith is hard to come by, right? So if we got some people that are going to believe on Jesus, they're going to become converted, they become Christians, we're rejoicing. But I'm here to tell you today that the Lord doesn't just rejoice in converts. He rejoices in people who make the conscious decision to become a disciple, that choose to follow Him. Because notice what He said in verse 31. In verse 31 of John 8, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if, say if. Now, whenever you see an if there, that shows that there is something on our part that we have to make a decision to do or not do. Right? So if you, those Jews who believed in Him, abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. I think a good modern day translation would be, you're really My disciples. Amen. Because how many of you know, there's a lot of people out there that would believe that they're a disciple. I could have you raise your hand today and say, how many disciples of the Lord Jesus would I have in here? And I'd venture to say the vast majority of you would raise your hand. But it's not about what we say we are. What would the Lord consider us? Are we a believer? Are we a Christian? Or are we a disciplined follower of the Lord? And right here, Jesus gives us a great description of who are His disciples, really. The ones that abide in His Word. Now, what does that mean? Abide means to stay, to live, to remain, or to dwell. When you see the word abide, it literally means to stay in that position, to stay in that condition, to stay in that place. Amen. So when He says here, if you abide in My Word, see, they had just believed on His words. But what He's saying is, it's not just about believing it now, it's about staying and remaining in these words that I've delivered to you. Amen. And that's where the rubber meets the road a lot of times. Because a lot of people have a emotional explosion of this is true, this is real, and they get excited about it. How many of you have seen Christians like that? People come in and they get converted, but then after a week or two, you don't see them anymore. Well, what they're doing is violating this very thing, is that they got excited about it, but there are a lot of times like that shooting star, which is what the Bible likens these people to. How many of you know, have you ever seen a shooting star before? Sometimes they might stay there for even somewhat of a good portion of a second, but then they disappear. They're gone. And the Bible encourages us not to be a shooting star, but to be like the sun himself that abides, that remains, that's always there. So if you remain, you stay, you live, you dwell in his word, you are his disciples indeed. And then look at verse 32. Verse 32 goes on to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Somebody say hallelujah. How many times have we ever heard this verse right here quoted without the verses before it? Right? A preacher stands up and say, hallelujah! And you got the organ going in the background. Hallelujah! And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not if you don't abide in his words. Because verse 31 is tied to this. So who is it that's going to know the truth? Those that abide in his words. And those that abide in his words are the ones that are going to come to know the truth of his words. And what'll happen? The truth shall make you free. Now, of course, the religious leaders didn't necessarily like his words here, because they came back and said, we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we're going to be made free? Which was a total lie, because they were currently in bondage to Rome. So I'm not really understanding why they even came out and said that. But they're saying, we've never been in bondage to anyone. But Jesus turns it around and says, I'm not talking about natural physical oppression. I'm talking about oppression to sin. And he starts dealing with sin and talking about how this, continuing in his word, will set us free from the dominion of sin, from the nature of sin. And how many of you know we have a need of that in our lives? And it's his word that has the power to do this work in our life. And this is why I've learned. I'm telling you, I've been around there, and I've seen all kinds of theories and philosophies of what sets people free. But according to this scripture and according to a lot of other scriptures, what we learn is it is the word of God which will actually change you. Because, you know, when we stand up here and preach and teach to you and give you what the word of the Lord is, you got to understand, this isn't like some Bible class and we're just giving you information and knowledge. What you're getting is life-giving words that if you'll have a heart to receive it, that word will start working in you and it'll change you. Amen. It'll set you free according to scriptures like this. That's what we have need of in our life, for the word to change us from the inside to the outside. Amen. But how many of you, when we look at these verses like this that talk about being made free, might have thought about something else that makes us free in our life? And it certainly doesn't violate what we're talking about with the word, because who we're going to talk about today, the Holy Spirit and the word, always agree. They're always working in conjunction with one another, amen. And how many of you know 2 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Amen. So in other words, if you got the Holy Ghost, if I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, the direct result of that should be what? Always freedom. He sets you free. That's what he loves to do. That's what the anointing does. The Lord told us time and time again that the word of God, that the anointing of his word, the anointing of his spirit does what? It destroys the yoke. It breaks the bond. That's what God loves to do. And that's one of the things that I just love about the ministry of Jesus, is that when you study what he did, he would take somebody the devil had made sick and just kept them that way for decades. chains. And just like this, set them free. That's what he's good at. That's what he loves to do. And it's not a process. I mean, it's a one-time deal. I mean, it's just like this. It's like the devils build this house of cards. And I don't know if you've ever done anything like that. If you've ever built something that's like very meticulous and you got to be real careful how you build this thing, and you can spend hours and hours building this thing up. That's what the devil's like. He spent hours and hours in your life building this house of cards, and he's placed those cards there. Ooh, yeah, I got it. And he's building something. And then God just comes along and with a blast from his nostrils, blows them down. That's what he does. What he's good at. And that's what the Holy Spirit's job is in our life. He is the one that makes us free. So let's go to John chapter 16. And let's talk about this one, the breath of God, that is given to us in our life to set us free and to set those around us free. The Spirit of truth. Now, we're a Holy Ghost church here, in case you haven't realized that. If you stumbled in here today and you didn't realize what we believe and you didn't necessarily know this, we do believe in the Holy Spirit. We do believe in His gifts. We do believe in tongues. We do believe in prophecy. We do believe in the work of the Holy Spirit in the church today just as much as He was working in the church 2,000 years ago. Amen. Because Jesus told us the Holy Spirit be given and He'll abide with you forever. And somebody needs to hear this. You think that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the past. You know you were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the past. And you think because you don't feel Him, because you haven't seen any evidence of Him in some time, that He's not there anymore. You might not consciously say that, but you believe that. That is not true. The Word of God teaches us that the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. Say forever. That means He's not leaving. Now, whether you feel Him or not, whether you sense Him or not, that's irrelevant. That just might mean you're so locked up in the flesh or your mind is not directed towards Him that you're not sensing His presence. But that doesn't mean He's not there. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. That doesn't mean you're always going to sense it. Right? You might be filled with the glory of God. Doesn't mean you're always going to sense it. And I'm here to tell you today, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit before, you are filled with the glory of God, whether you feel it or not. Amen. Now, Jesus, of course, in these passages of Scripture, John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus was giving a crash course to His disciples. We're talking some of the most important words the Lord ever delivered to us, and understandably so. Because Jesus was about to be leaving them. So He's basically given them the most important information that will cause them to be able to survive in His absence. Right? And one of the most important topics in these three chapters is the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm going to be leaving you. And in fact, Jesus said in John 16 earlier in this chapter, He says this to him. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, I'm telling you, if I was one of His disciples right there, right then, and I don't have the privilege of hindsight, I'm hearing Jesus say, you're saying it's going to be better for us for you to leave. There is no way, Lord, that could be true. Right? But Jesus tells us why that is true earlier in chapter 14 when He says, but I'm going to go away from you, but I'm going to pray that the Father will give you another comforter, another helper. And what we've learned in this church about that is Jesus was the original comforter, the original helper. So everything Jesus did for His disciples, everything He meant to them throughout this ministry, that's what Jesus was. He was the Parakletos originally. So when He says, I'm going to pray and the Father's going to give you another helper, He was basically saying in these verses, He's going to give you someone that's just like me. My identical twin in the Spirit. Amen. But here's the better news, and this is why it's more advantageous for us to have the Holy Spirit than to have Jesus here. And you know why? Jesus was just a man. He couldn't answer John's questions at the same time as Peter's questions. He couldn't be there and minister with one of his disciples alone and be with another one at the same time. He was limited to the physical body. But by the fact we have the Holy Spirit who's just like him, and the Holy Spirit is spiritual, and he lives on the inside of each one of us that's received him, now we each have our own personal Jesus. Now that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? I got my own personal Jesus, just like you got your own personal Jesus. Of course, Jesus isn't multiple beings and entities, but this is just the way the Holy Spirit works. So if I'll learn to take advantage of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, like the disciples had learned to take advantage of Jesus being with them, I'll come to know this. The Holy Spirit is to me today what Jesus was to his disciples yesterday. Amen. So he's preparing them for what is to come. And look what he says right here. He said, I still have many things to say to you. Out of all the things he had said to them in John 14, 15, and 16, he said, I still got many other things to say to you. But you cannot bear them now. Now, when you look these words up, bear, it literally means in the Greek that you can't take it up with the hands. It describes taking something up with the hands. So this would be, in my opinion, the best translation of this verse. I have still many things I want to share with you, but you can't handle them right now. And how many of you know that? We've all had that point in our life, I guarantee you. There's a lot of us that would attest to this. We were a born-again believer for decades, and we had gone to the main church in town that's got the little steeple and the little bell up in it. And everybody there's good people. Oh, they love God. And everybody's well-intentioned. We do a bunch of good and kind things. And we have the preacher that would stand up and preach to us. And we'd hear pretty much about Jesus' salvation in John 3:16 every Sunday. Right? And then when we'd go home and maybe have like a little stirring on the inside of us to actually read the Bible ourselves, we open it up, and it don't make any more sense to us than if we opened a book of Shakespeare. We just don't understand it. But the day came where, for many of us, where we received the Holy Spirit. We got filled with the Holy Ghost. It might have been in a home meeting, might have been in the other church that everybody warned you never to go to. And we get filled with the Holy Spirit and something changed. And then you start reading this book and its words start jumping off the page to you. Things just come alive. You start getting a little bit of understanding. There's life on it. How many of you can attest to what I'm describing to you today? Well, that is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to open up the Scriptures to us. I remember when this happened with me, when I got saved at 25. Some people might argue and say that I was saved at a younger age. I'm not so sure of that doctrinally. I'm not sure. All I know is my spiritual light bulb was turned on when I was 25 years old. To the point to where after the presence of the Holy Spirit came into my life, I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, anybody that knows Pastor Trey knows, if I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's either with the Lord's help or Papa John's. Just naturally speaking, I ain't going to wake up early. I'm not an early riser. But I'd wake up and I was just charged and I'd start reading the Bible and I'd go and just started calling people up saying, did you know this said this? Did you see this? Do you see it? Read it again. Do you see that? I mean, it was just alive. It was jumping off the page to me. Why? Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life to come to know these things. Amen. And that's why he's saying there's a point in our life where we might not necessarily be able to handle spiritual truth, but that was before they received the Holy Ghost. Then when they received the Holy Ghost, guess what happened? They were able to handle more. That's why he says, verse 13, however, when he, not it, he. Now, if you read John 14, 15, and 16, every time the Holy Spirit's referred to, you see a personal pronoun used time and time again. He, him, who. You never see him referred to as an it. And in a lot of the churches today, I'm telling you, that's the way they look at the Holy Ghost. Like he is some sort of power that we're supposed to get a hold of and use. And that is not who the Holy Ghost is. He is a person who wants to get a hold of us and use us. Amen. So, he, the Spirit of truth, when he has come, and say he's come, man, baby. Oh, he's come in my life. Hallelujah. He will what? Guide you into all the what? Truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak to you. He will tell you things to come. Amen. So one of the primary ministries we see of the Holy Spirit right here is what? That he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that awesome? I remember, this is my wife's testimony. A lot of you have heard this before, but she was a good old Baptist girl, raised up in good Baptist upbringing, praise God. And God bless the Baptists. If it wasn't for the Baptists, we wouldn't have a solid foundation built up under us that would keep us sturdy. So praise God, I'm not demeaning them at all, but there's some things they might not know. And so guess what? When she gets filled with the Holy Ghost at a Joyce Meyer conference, oh, hallelujah, that was the first thing the Lord spoke to her, is that I will guide you into all truth. And if he'll guide you into all truth, he'll guide you into who you're to marry. He'll guide you into what job to take. He'll guide you into a whole lot of things that might be true for you in your life. How many of you could take a little bit of that in your life, a little bit of guidance in your life? Amen. But what's interesting about the word guide that's used here, it describes being led. Now, how many of you know there's a lot of scripture that talk about those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. There's a lot to be said about the Holy Spirit's power to lead you in your life. Amen. And he is called the Holy Spirit. He's not called the Holy Cowboy. What are you saying, Pastor? Have you ever watched cowboys and certain things? You know what they do? All right, guys, we're going to let this little calf out the gate. And he's going to run as much as fast as he can. But then this cowboy's going to come out with this horse, and he's going to have a lasso, and he's going to get that thing by the leg, and he's going to jump off that horse real quick and hog-tie that thing's legs as quick as can be. People think that's what the Holy Ghost's going to do, that he's going to drag you into all truth, that he's going to get you and just tie you up. That's what the Holy Ghost does. And they'll say things like, the Holy Ghost took me to the woodshed today and wore my rear end out because of all the sin that I'd done in my life. I was like, I don't know what spirit that was, but that was not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit don't do that. He guides gently, like a shepherd. Remind you of any scriptures? He's a gentle guide, and he's not going to force you to do anything. He's going to come in and gently say, follow me. Let me show you a better way. I got some green pastures out here. I got some still waters for you. Come, follow me. But if that sheep persists in not following him, he ain't gonna make it. That's where free will comes involved. Amen? So, he will guide you into all truth. And you know what another good, powerful truth about guiding is? You can't guide what's not already moving. You can take the biggest boat that's got a big, huge rudder and got everything it needs to guide the boat. But if it's sitting at the dock, tied up to the dock, you can turn that rudder all the way to one side. And guess what? The boat won't be guided. Why? Because in order for a boat to be guided, it must be moving. And that is a very powerful principle to learn about the Holy Spirit's ministry to guide us into all truth. He's not going to guide you into all of Jesus, who is the truth, or into all the Word that is truth, if you're not already seeking after those things and moving in that direction. Do you know where we see this in the Bible? Go to Acts chapter 8. Let me show you a good, perfect example. In fact, it's an example where the word guide is used, the same word. How many of you are familiar with an evangelist named Philip? Oh, praise God. This guy, he was an awesome disciple of the Lord. And this evangelist was called to go to Samaria. Now, you know, the Jews didn't think much of the Samaritans. But the Lord called him to go there, and he starts preaching Christ to them, and all kinds of people start believing, and miracles start happening. They have revival in Samaria. And then, through a course of events, something happens to where the Lord then calls this man Philip, this evangelist, from Samaria to go to another place. And I'm going to tell you, put yourself in this guy's shoes right here. Because he was having an awesome revival. And you know, isn't that the tendency? When revival breaks out somewhere, what does everybody like to do? The same thing the disciples wanted to do when they saw Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah. Hey, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Isn't that what they said? It's good for us to be here. Let's build some tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's stay here because we never want to leave this miraculous place anymore. That would be the tendency, wouldn't it? Well, I guarantee you Philip had a little bit of that too, but then the Lord sends an angel to him to tell him to go somewhere else. Now, what's interesting, and I don't think I gave them these verses, but notice this in verse 26, if you've got it open in Acts 8, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.'" Now, you know why the Bible puts that little phrase in there? This is desert. In the margin, it says, this is a deserted place. He's calling him to go from a massive revival of a bunch of people that had just been converted and miracles were happening to go down to a road where nobody was. You reckon you might need an angel to appear to you to tell you that that's the Lord's will? I guarantee you that's why the angel was sent to him. And so he's going to this deserted place. Now, let's skip ahead now, because what happens is we know why the Lord called him there, because he saw this little caravan going. And it was an Ethiopian eunuch who was being carried along by his people, and the Lord said, "Go to this place. I want you to go to him, and I want you to preach Christ to him," essentially is what he was telling him. So, in verse 30, Philip, getting this word, ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Now, this Ethiopian eunuch is probably in the same condition that I described earlier to you, that all of us might have been in at one time or another, where we tried to read the Bible and we're not understanding what we're reading, right? And what did the eunuch respond? He said, "How can I understand it unless someone," what? "Guides me." Same Greek word as the word in John 16. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Look at verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And then verse 33 goes on to say, is it 33? Yeah, well, we'll just skip there. We don't need to necessarily read that. So it was at that point he begins to explain who that was he was reading about. But can you see a parallel here? Let's not look at Philip like a physical human being for a moment. Since he was the one called by the Lord, sent to the Lord down south to this deserted place, from heaven to earth, to a dry and thirsty land, he gets called to come down and do what? Guide this one man into all the truth of the scripture he was studying and reading. Do you see a person that this could be typified as? The Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, this is exactly how it works. You might be studying the Bible yourself. You might be reading something and just feeling like you're having a hard time to understand it. What's the best thing to do? The Holy Spirit's already been called along your side, like Philip was called to come alongside of this chariot. Amen. So he's there, and what does he say? "Come up here and sit with me." You see that? How many of you know that might be a good idea when you have your Bible reading in the morning? Holy Spirit, come on up here. Sit next to me. Because I have need of somebody to guide me into all the truth that I am reading. What a novel idea to actually invite the Holy Spirit, the one that breathed on this to inspire all of this, to come explain what he meant when he gave it to us. Amen. Learning to utilize the Holy Spirit in our life. And that's what we're learning here, is that it's important for us to say something to the effect of, and we say it sometimes on our profession, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." What fun, new, exciting thing are we going to do today? When was the last time you did that? I say that not to condemn, but rather to encourage that is a great idea in our life every day, to converse with the one that lives on the inside of us. And instead of looking at God as being out there somewhere and I'm praying to something out there, I've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. Let's start talking to Him. Let's start communing with Him. Let's start acknowledging the advantage that lives on the inside of us. And then He starts guiding us into all the truth. Amen. But here's a point I really wanted to leave you with today. Not only is the Holy Spirit's calling and commission to guide us into all the truth, but it's also to make you to know all the error. The Holy Spirit will let you know what's wrong. You know, some of the best things that I've ever learned when I'm sitting in a pew just like you are today, when somebody else is preaching, some of the best truths I've ever learned were when the person that was preaching error. Because then the Holy Spirit starts showing me, that's not true because of this. And He starts putting scriptures together. Amen. And so I started learning things as a result of that. So go to 1 John, and we're going to end where we began. 1 John chapter 2. Now look at this. 2:18. This is, if you notice, one of the major themes in 1 John is that the disciple whom Jesus loved was preparing people to know, hey, this spirit of error, this spirit of antichrist is going to be all around you, and you need to know how you can know what's error and what's light. He says, "Little children, it is the last hour." Now stop a minute. 2,000 years ago, John says it's the last hour. So what do you suppose we're in? The last minutes. I mean, we're as close as anybody's ever been to the very end. So if this was true for them 2,000 years ago, you can bet it's true for us. So it's the last hour, the last minutes of the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. You've heard that before, hadn't you? The Antichrist is coming, isn't he? Even now, many Antichrists have come. See, one thing we got to understand is we're oftentimes looking for a physical event to happen, but you got to understand the spiritual thing that's instigating all of it has already been here. And there's going to be many different antichrists that have come that will be teaching things, and it'll be in the church, not just in the world, by which we know that it's the last hour. Now, for time's sake, go to verse 20. Look at this verse right here. But don't be troubled. Don't be troubled about all these antichrists that might be surrounding you, but know this, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You got an anointing from the Holy One. Let me talk to this side over here. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Not you hope to have, not you may have, you got it. Oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord to anoint me one day, Pastor Trey. I'm praying and believing that God will somehow in His sovereign divine will choose to anoint me one day. No, you already have been anointed from the Holy One. And guess what else? And you know all things. Now, I know a lot of people that think they know all things. I know a lot of people that think they know everything, but that's not what this is talking about. The context is when you have a spirit of antichrist, when you have lie and error and all that going on around you, you got somebody on the inside of you that will show you when it's false. And that mind of Christ on the inside of you lets you know, something's wrong there. How many of you have had that happen before? You either were hearing preaching or somebody gave you a personal prophetic word. And something in you, you might not have been able to necessarily put your finger on it, explain what was off on it, but something in you said, that's not right. Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to me many times. And I didn't have any scripture or anything else to back up that being true. But how many of you know you don't override it just because you can't explain why? Sometimes the Holy Spirit's just saying, don't swallow that. And thank God for that. The Holy Ghost done that for me for a few times. Put something in your mouth. You start chewing it. Don't swallow that. Something doesn't seem right. Spit that thing out. How many of you know you've ever gotten food poisoning before? And you can look back and you're like, the Holy Ghost was telling me not to order that, not to eat that, not to go there. Oh, that's happened a bunch of times to many different people. But listen, you know all things. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you will show you everything you need to know. And that's why he goes on to say, look at verse 27. I love this verse. But this anointing which you have received from him abides in you, goes in line with what we were saying, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you, look at this, concerning all things. If you got the King James, it says of all things. And is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. You know what he's telling you right there? If anybody ever comes to you and says, oh, you need me to teach you, you can't understand this book yourself. You're going to have something man-made to know this stuff. You know right now, that's a lie according to this verse. What this is telling you right here is that anointing that caused you to know all things, he will teach you concerning all things you hear. And you can trust he's not a lie, and just as he has taught you, you're going to stay what? Abiding in him. So this is the Holy Spirit's job in yours and my life. And we got to learn to exalt his ministry a little bit more, learn to listen to him, and listen to this, repent for all the times that we have had him tell us something and we just wrote it off. You know why that's important? Because if the Holy Spirit is going contrary to the direction you're going and you just keep going, you just keep going. If I keep doing this, what's going to happen? I'm going to have some calloused hands. That can happen to our heart the more we go against what the Holy Spirit's telling us to do. Our hearts can become calloused and come past feeling. And then we're not sensitive to him the way we used to be. How many of you have experienced that in your life? You were a little bit more sensitive to the Holy Ghost than you are today. I remember early on, if I took a pen home from work, I knew it was wrong. But before that, before I received the Holy Ghost, I used to tell people, man, I can do this and not feel bad about it. And they'd look at me like, that's disturbing, Trey. So he took this hard, callous conscience and put a new heart in there. The Holy Ghost will do that for you today. It's to where you become soft and sensitive and pliable in the hands of the Maker. To where when the Holy Ghost is telling you, go here. Go to this place. Do this. Say this, don't do this, don't listen to this, that you know you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you just got to know, I got to trust him. And it'll keep you out of a world of hurt. How many times, like Pastor Robert was saying earlier, has the Holy Ghost rescued me from speeding tickets, from unnecessary pain and suffering and things like that? Because why? I'd listen to his voice. And his voice is not always going to be like the finger on the wall or writing in the clouds. It's just going to be an impression. Something seems good, something seems bad, and you got to learn to just trust that. I'm telling you that right there. All of you, listen to me now. If you are in a situation where you need to be delivered and set free of something in your life, that is one of the biggest keys to experiencing that freedom in your life. Whatever the Holy Ghost leads you to do, do it. And you do that one time after another, after another, after another, and in doing so, guess what? He's going to lead you into freedom. How many of you have seen Braveheart? Freedom! And that's what you'll shout it like too once you start getting it, when you realize that you have been made free in your life. Let's stand on our feet then. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Spirit of truth who guides me into all truth. He is faithful. He is good. I want to acknowledge something in this place. We don't always do this, but this is a special one. But we have somebody in here that has a birthday today, and it's their 70th birthday. How many of you know decade birthdays are a little special? Diana, man, hold your hand up and wave it around. Diana turned 70 today. So let's sing happy birthday. Let's play happy birthday, Judy. We want to do the high point version or the traditional version? You know them both? All right, let's do them both. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best one you ever had. Happy birthday, happy birthday. No, it's good, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. If our prayer ministers will come forward now, listen. That house of cards I was describing earlier, if you feel like there's something in your life that might be a little bit like that, how many of you know the anointing's present today to destroy that yoke, to remove those bonds, and to set you free? And guess what? We have an anointing of the Holy One that will help do that in your life today. So if you need prayer, come on forward and we'll be happy to bless you and lay hands on you. But we love you guys. God bless you. And I hope everybody has a wonderful day. In Jesus' name.